Open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lamb of God. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, down in verse 17. Yeah, there we go. Verse 17. All of it's good, but I want to look at verse 17. Y'all are too quiet, and you're making me nervous again. We're expecting. Is that what it is? Somebody said at one point in time, I was at another church, and they said at one point in time, we're just like a sponge soaking it all in. You know, and I replied to that person, I wish every once in a while, I ain't got a problem with being a sponge and soaking it in, but every now and then let out. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 17. If you have it, can you say amen? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they might recover. They shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In fact, let me go back through. And these signs, what? Shall follow them that believe. In my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If any they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And what? They shall recover. Amen. I want to preach tonight just this simple message in the fact that something's following you. Something is following you. Something is following you. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you will minister in this place. God, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will take residence in this house tonight. And God, you will be made known and manifested in this place. I pray tonight, if there are any demons in this place, God, we cast them out. I pray tonight, God, that those that are not baptized with the Holy Ghost will be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with new tongues. I pray tonight, God, that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Oh, Lord God, we believe it tonight, God, and we put our trust in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the house said. Now, I got to tell y'all something, and I got to confess, because I have a dark side. There's a dark side to everybody, and I have a dark side because it was real tempting for me, Brother Anthony, to have a box sitting right here. And while I read that passage talking about taking up with serpents, it was just tempting just to sit the box there and have some of you be worried and concerned of what was in the box. I'm sorry, that's the dark side to me. But I will tell you this, that there are two things that I will not do tonight. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to run out. You don't have to worry because I haven't brought any snakes. And we're not taking out any snakes. And we're not taking up any snakes. And we're not going to take anything and drink any kind of deadly poison either. So those are two things you ain't got to worry about tonight. I don't believe that you have to take up snakes to prove your faith. I don't believe that you have to drink deadly stuff to prove your faith. That's called ignorance. And stupidity and foolishness if you want to. However, I do believe that there are things that we need to understand in this text. And the reason why, and I really have struggled with titling this message, because I could not understand, could not get a hold of it. I wanted to call it Something's Following You. What's in your wallet? Look behind you. I don't know. But the point that I was trying to make is that you have something inside of you that's called God Almighty. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And what many people don't realize is they've got the power of God right inside of them. Amen. In fact, the problem with a lot of the church world today, especially Pentecostal folk, is because we're always praying down the Spirit. And we're always trying to lift up the Spirit. And we're always trying to work up the Spirit. But the Spirit of the living God is here in our midst tonight. He's here in the midst of His people. And there ain't nothing you gotta do, bless God, to work Him up or talk Him up or anything. In fact, this is what He says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. To them that believe. That these signs and miracles and wonders, I don't know about anybody else, but I thank God that the God that I serve isn't dead. I thank God. Now, some of you folk out there may be dead, but the God that I serve isn't dead. And the God that I worship isn't dead. He's alive. And I know what they say. I know that they say that all the signs and the wonders and the miracles were for those in the apostles and the disciples and all of that. But Peter said this, and the Holy Ghost is for you and your children and your children's children. And to them that are afar off, that means me, and to as many as would call on the name of the Lord. That the power of God is available for us to receive tonight. That God is real in this place. I wish that you would understand tonight that you brought Him with you. I wish that you would understand tonight that you brought Him with you. Watch this, because I need to ask the question, what is following you? That's what He says. And signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. I'm thankful I can look over into the Old Testament, and one of the most quoted verses in the Old Testament is the Psalms 23. And David said this. What? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That the goodness of God follows me. Everywhere I walk, there He is right behind me. If I walk into Walmart, He's there. If I go into my house, He's there. If I go into a difficult situation, He's there. If I go into the hospital, He's there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In fact, that word mercy is that beautiful word chesed in the Hebrew language. It means the loving loyalty or the faithfulness of God Almighty. In other words, His mercies are new every morning. Somebody ought to worship God, but because before you got up this morning, His mercy was already there. His mercy, His faithfulness. You understand tonight that the faithfulness of God does not depend on how you feel? If it depended on how I felt, God wouldn't be very faithful. If God's faithfulness relied on how you felt, God help us all. He wouldn't be very faithful. Because too many of us operate on our faithfulness, on our feelings and our emotions. And if I feel like praising Him, I'm praising Him. And if I feel like raising my hand, I raise my hand. And half the time the preacher has to beg you to raise your hand and beg you to clap your hands and beg you to worship God when it should be. And I know we've got to feel a little touch. And thank God for a touch from above. I'm not disregarding a touch from above. I thank God, Brother God, that every now and then He comes in and touches me. But even when He doesn't touch me, and even when I gotta go through a desert and a wilderness, I don't worship God because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. That David says, surely goodness and mercy, the faithfulness of God shall follow me all the days of my life. It is like when my daughter, which is no longer at the stage where she is learning to walk, she knows how to walk. But when she was learning how to walk, everybody knows that when you're learning how to walk, every now and then you stumble. And every now and then you fall. And bless God, sometimes we let her fall on her own, but sometimes when she was walking, we were right there, especially when she was learning how to walk, we were right there behind her to catch her. Can I tell you, that's the faithfulness of God Almighty, is that when you're in this Christian life and you're walking along in this Christian life, you're going to stumble and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to mess up, but God is faithful. David said, surely I'm not chasing after goodness and mercy. No, they follow me everywhere I go. They follow me everywhere I go. Now Jesus said this. Jesus said that signs shall follow them that believe. The word sign there in the Greek language means a mark of distinguishment. In other words, it is what distinguishes you differently from the rest. This is what makes Pentecostals different from Baptist folk. And God bless Baptist folk, and we love Baptist folk, and we love Methodist folk, and we love Presbyterian folk, as long as they don't allow homosexuals in their pulpit. We love them all. That's fine. We love all those kind of folk. But this is what distinguishes Pentecostal folk from all of those other kind of folk. Because Jesus said that these things will distinguish you when you start casting out devils and speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what distinguishes you differently from the rest. I just got to pause just for a minute and say, thank God I'm Pentecostal. Thank God I'm Pentecostal. Thank God I came into a Pentecostal holiness church. And bless God, I thank God for holiness, but I thank God I'm Pentecostal. And I believe the Pentecostal way, that we can speak in tongues, that we can cast out devils, that we can lay our hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what distinguishes you. That's why some of you were called holy rollers and tongue talkers and Bible bashers and all kinds of other stuff when you were coming along, is because they noticed and distinguished you differently from the rest. That is something that, and again, notice what Jesus says. And these signs shall follow them. You do understand the concept of following, right? Amen. I know you're old, Brother Anthony. And I know you tried to hurt yourself this morning. So I'm not going to pick on you. Come here, Brian. I mean, you do understand, follow me. You do understand the concept of following, right? That wherever I go, their Spirit of God is. If I move to the left, then He's there. If I move to the right, then He's there. But this is the thing. He said, now this is surely goodness and mercy here. Yeah. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. But this is what Jesus said, that the miracles and the signs shall follow me. So wherever I go, wherever I move, if I want to come down here to Sister Shirley, and if she needs prayer, then healing has just followed. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If I need to pray over her in the spirit, wherever I go, if I need to go over here to Sister Marilyn, if I need to pray over her in the spirit, then the tongues has fallen me right behind me, because He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If I need to run back up here and touch Brother Anthony and minister to him, and he's got a devil in him and I need to cast it out, my God in heaven, the ability to cast out the devil has followed me. It's right behind me wherever I go. I know you're tired now. You can't keep up with somebody as young as I am. That we need to understand that we don't chase the signs and the wonders. The signs and the wonders follow. Now watch this. It did not say that the signs and wonders only follow the sanctified folk. It did not say that the signs and the wonders only follow the Spirit-filled folk. It didn't say that the signs... Oh, I've messed up somebody's theology. It did not say that the signs and the wonders only followed the Pentecostal folk. Go back and read what Jesus said. It's in red there. That's why it's there. In red in your King James Bible. It's because those are the words of Christ. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. All you've got to do is believe. If you ain't talking in tongues yet, believe. And the Spirit of God can come over you. And He'll give you the gift of the Spirit of God. And you can speak with new tongues. And he said, these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. The problem is, D.L. Moody said it this way, the problem is that we can search through churches and we can find out places where the Spirit of God is being grieved. Why? Because we don't believe. Oh, I just thought of something that I forgot. Can you all use your imaginations? Please, because I forgot. Unless somebody has three different objects of three different sizes, it won't do any good. But I forgot. But watch this. Here's the problem. Is the fact that we think that faith is only for those who are great and mighty in the kingdom of God. See, I wanted to bring a large one-cup measuring cup, and I forgot to bring one. Because that would represent the people that are... Let's just pretend, for instance, that Benny Hinn's ministry, and it might be real. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and judge him. It might be real. But let's pretend that Benny Hinn's ministry is real. And we would think to ourselves that kind of faith that he has to bring people out of wheelchairs and to do all the kind of stuff that he does, he has the great big measuring cup of faith. See, the problem is that he has that kind of faith, but then we, well, let's see, let's go down a notch a little bit. Let's go to about a quarter a smaller cup of faith, and we'll give that one to the pastors. Because bless their hearts, they deal with them unruly congregations and those wild church members and all that kind of stuff. And so they got a little bit of faith. They at least got enough faith to preach the gospel. But then the rest of you get like a tablespoon of faith. Now tell me some of you don't believe that. Tell me some of you don't believe that. Tell me some of you, well, I can't ever have no great faith because only the Apostle Paul had great faith and he had a mighty faith and he could do things and do all kinds of wonders. And I can't have the faith like Brother Stacy has or like Sister Gail has. I can't have that kind of faith to pray for people because that's kind of that great faith. That's kind of a big faith. And I can't have that kind of faith. I wish you'd go back and read Romans chapter 12 because Romans chapter 12 says that God has given everybody the measure of faith. It's the same kind of faith for everybody. The same faith that's in me is the same faith that's in you. The same faith that's in you is the same faith that's in you. God has given everybody the same measure of faith. He's given us the same measure of faith. So whatever Benny Hinn does in his nice little white suit and his whatever kind of accent that is that he does that in, whatever he does, bless God, we ought to... Okay, let me put it this way. Whatever Jesus did, he said, I can use Jesus. Is it all right to use Jesus? Whatever Jesus did, he said, greater things will you do because I go to my Father. Okay, if I can do greater things than what Jesus did, then bless God, Jesus touched the blinded eyes and they opened. I ought to be able to go up to blinded eyes and open them. Jesus opened the deaf ears and they could hear. I ought to be able to go to the deaf and they can hear. Jesus raised the dead. At some point in time, and I ain't had the faith enough to do it yet, I'll have to confess to you, but at some point in time, we ought to be able to go up to the dead and cause them to be raised to life. Bless God, we ought to have some power behind our faith because whatever Jesus did, that's what we can do. But he said, these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. Now, I told you, I ain't going to take up no snake. And I ain't going to drink nothing deadly, knowing it. Sometimes my wife might get mad at me and she might try to poison me, but my Bible has me covered under that insurance policy. If she does try to poison me, God help her if she does. But watch this. The Bible says that we can cast out devils. What kind of signs? We can cast out devils. How many of you understand Jesus with his first temptation in dealing with a devil? He casted out the devil. That Jesus, that when the enemy came, he said, "Son, if you're the Son of Man, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Bless God. He went on down and took him to the pinnacle and said, "Why don't you jump on down? The angels will catch you." He said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." It is written. If Jesus used the word to cast out the devil, if Jesus, the living word, used the written word to cast out the devil, how much more you think we ought to stay in this book to cast out the enemy? That we ought to stay in the book. Because faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word.
The word. I like what one preacher talked about, the fact that it doesn't matter. I can pray for your faith all you want, all I want to, but you're not going to get faith because I pray for your faith. You're not going to get faith because I pray for you. You're going to get faith because of the word. You're going to get faith because of the word of the living God. In fact, if you're listening right, then your faith ought to be building right now because of the word that is preached to you. That you, and when you go home and you read the book and you start building up faith, bless God. I said it Wednesday night and I think I'll say it again. We whine. This is what we want to do with the devil. We want to whine and complain and moan and groan. Well, the devil's been on my back and he's been on my case and he's been on my trail. Bless God. Knock him off. If you got the authority that Jesus said you have the authority to do, you have the ability to knock him off. You shall cast out devils. How many of you understand that there is demonic activity in the churches today that binds? That binds. That binds folk. The bitterness is the demonic activity that binds folk. You can sit on one side of the church and on the other side of the church and you can be bitter with one another and that will bind. God won't come up into that mess. You can have animosity and hatred for one another and God won't come up into that mess. Because the book said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. For it is like the oil that ran upon Aaron's head, down to his beard, down to his skirt. The anointing comes when we are in unity with one another. And there is no power unless there's unity." There is no power unless there is unity. Addictions is a stronghold of the devil. Addiction, and I'm not just talking about drinking or smoking cigarettes either. Anything can become addiction. Gossiping can become an addiction. Hello? Anything, backbiting can become an addiction. Lust can become an addiction. Whatever you got in your life that you put before God can become an addiction. Can I tell you, we live there again in a world full of technology and of all kinds of cultural things. I'm telling you, there are more addictions out there than what you realize. And it's time that the devil broke those, broke those addictions of Satan himself. Bless God. I thank God that the Bible says, "And the yoke shall be destroyed." Because of the anointing. The interesting thing about Isaiah was when he said, "The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Here's the yoke. And it's not an egg yoke, by the way. It's a yoke full of beasts of burden, all right? And it was placed upon the beast there. And what basically what he was saying was that the anointing was the fact that he got too big for the yoke that was binding him. I wish that we had enough faith to break out of the yokes that were binding us. We are able to cast out the devil. Then he said, "We are able to speak in new tongues." Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Imagine that. They were in unity. And when he came, clothed in tongues as the fire came and sat upon each of them, and they began to what? Speak with new tongues. How? As the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' house. Here they are in Cornelius' house. Peter thinks, "Oh, they're Gentiles. They can't be filled with the Spirit." Oh, they're that other kind. You know, they're that other kind that can't be filled with the Spirit. They got a Baptist background or a Methodist background or what. They can't be filled with the Spirit. God shows him up because the house of Cornelius begins to be filled with the Spirit. And Peter goes back and reports it to the other Jewish brothers and says, I know they were filled with the Spirit because I heard them speak with other tongues. Acts chapter 19, Paul is laying his hands on the people there. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We ain't never heard of the Holy Ghost. We don't even know if there'd be a Holy Ghost or not. But then he said, come here, lay my hands on you. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost by the laying on of Paul's hands. I don't know what the problem is with folks in a Pentecostal Holy Church and are afraid and scared of talking in tongues. Paul said, I talk in tongues more than all of you do. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. You think you're crazy. I talk in tongues in my sleep. I talk in tongues when I'm awake. I dream and talk in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. If we're in a Pentecostal church, that's what Pentecostals do. That's what makes us Pentecostal. That's what distinguishes us as being Pentecostal, is talking in tongues. Yeah, what's all to this talking in tongues? Let me tell you what he says. Paul said this, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue doesn't talk to man, but to God. Because there's some things I can't tell you. And I just pointed you. I mean, anybody. There's some things I can't tell you. Because you go and tell somebody else. There are some things that I can't tell you. There are some things you will, I don't care how close you want to get to Pastor Watford. Doesn't matter to me how much you want to get buddy-buddy with me. We can go on all the fishing trips you want to. But there are some things you ain't going to know about Brother Watford because it ain't none of your business. There are some things I ain't going to tell you, but bless God, I can go into a closet of prayer and seek the face of God. And in a heavenly language, I can tell my master about all of my cares and worries and problems and adversities. And he's right there. He's right there in the midst of everything. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Let me clear something up. Because we have got things in Pentecostal circles. We have got this thing all messed up. Because we will hear one thing. Well, you're not supposed to talk in tongues in a church service unless there's an interpreter. Lie. Because I just told you, if I talk in tongues, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. There are some times in a church service I need to talk to God. There are sometimes, especially when we're worshiping God, and half of you look like you need to be buried out in Virgin May, I need to talk to God. I need to have some kind of power and some kind of spirit in my life, and I need to talk to God. That there are times. No, what Paul was talking about was that at one point in time, they were all popping up and down. They had words and prophecies and all kinds of stuff. And they were talking in tongues. And there was no order. Preacher couldn't preach. The singers couldn't sing. And there was no kind of order to anything. And God was not in the midst of chaos. He wasn't in the midst of confusion. And what Paul said was, I understand that there's a time and a place in the church service for you to do those kind of things. There's a time and a place. But the best time. That is wonderful when there is a word in tongues and there is a message. And I can't get into all that tonight, but I'll get into that some other time on a Wednesday night where we have the ability. What the Bible says is this, for we know not what we ought to pray. Let me pause there. How many of us tonight know what we ought to pray? Let me see the hands of you that know what to pray every single time. Bless God. I didn't have to call anybody down to the altar. Because there are times, Brother Craig, that you may have a need in your life and you ask me to pray for you and I simply don't know how or what direction to pray for you about it. There are times. Now, you know what? There are times when we think we know what to pray. We think we know because we know what we want. We know what we feel. Oh, God, heal that person or save that person or do whatever. You know, God, if it's somebody that's sick, God, heal them. Bring them out right now. You don't know if they need to be brought out right now. There are mothers all over this country, if they will. They have sons, and they're about to head to prison, and the mothers want to pull them out of jail. Can I tell you, it might do them some good to go into jail. And we're praying, oh God, deliver them out of jail, deliver them out of bondage. How many of you understand the prodigal son had to hit the pigsty before he realized that he needed to go back to the Father? We need to be able to pray in the Spirit. But then let me close with this. Let me close with this. He said, these things shall follow you, that you shall lay hands on the sick, and they not might, they shall recover. Now don't ask me to explain all of that, but I'm just going to stand on the word that if you're sick and you call me and you let me know what's going on, then I ought to be able to lay my hands on you and you shall recover. That we ought to have enough of God in us that we can lay our hands on somebody and they shall recover. I want us to do it tonight. I want you to stand in this house. There is something that is following you. What are you going to do with it? There are signs and wonders and miracles that are available, that are following you. What are you going to do about it? Now, I guarantee you what I think we're going to do with it. I think we're going to come up to the altar and probably pray for 5 minutes, and then we're going to go back to our seats and do nothing with it. But let me remind you, in case you're not in a point of desperation right now, at some point in time in your life, you're going to be at a point of desperation. At some point in time in your life, if you're not going through something right now, you're going to go through something. And at some point in time, you're going to need some signs and some wonders to be able to follow you. That statement that I made at the beginning of the service, one of the things that I wanted to name this, Brother Anthony, was what's in your wallet. That comes from a Capital One commercial, by the way. Everybody ever seen those awful Capital One commercials? Those awful credit card commercials? And they make it sound like that if you only have that in your wallet, you're all right. If you've got any kind of other credit card, if you've got American Express, and I know we don't leave home without it, if you've got MasterCard, Visa, and all those other kind of credit cards, they are nothing. What's in your wallet? It better be a Capital One. That's the concept that they give you. But can I tell you this? If you've got anything else other than the power of God inside of your life, it won't work. Buddha's not going to pull you out of the mess that you're in. There are some addictions that you all are going through right now. There's some problems that somebody is going through right now. Buddha, Muhammad, your self-esteem, your self-image are not going to pull you out. Only the power of God will pull you out. Only what's in your wallet? What's in your back corner? What is following you? Signs and wonders can follow you all the days of your life. I want us to come and I want us to seek God tonight, and I want us just to believe His Word tonight, to stand on His Word and to believe.